is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday, the 18th of December. It's nearly Christmas. Hello.
Hello, listener.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, good.
You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host this week is Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon, everyone.
All right.
And welcome to our fabulous studio guests today, shall we?
We have a huge lineup of guests here today, and we have Martin looking like a right prawn in a Santa hat and funny T-shirt.
Well, I've just realised that the headphones won't accommodate a normal hat, so it's having to sort of balance on the top. But at least Simon Morgan and I have made the effort, Paul.
Well, you certainly have, and I think Joe's got earrings of a festive nature. Uh-huh. It's just Bernie and me that have turned up looking normal.
Not a Christmas fun, though.
And we're both curmudgeons.
So we've mentioned some of our guests there. We ought to introduce them properly.
Go on, then.
So, well, why don't we go around the table? Why don't you say who you are and spread some festive cheer?
Hi, happy Christmas, everyone. I'm Joanne Bell from Bell's Accountants. Lovely to be here. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, likewise. Also very nice to be here. I'm Simon Morgan from the HR department and wearing my Christmas pullover.
Yes, well done.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name's Bernard Woods and I'm from Bernard Woods Interior Design.
Brilliant. So we know who everybody is.
Well done.
I can't believe another year's gone by because Simon and I were just talking. Simon came on the Christmas show last year.
Absolutely.
And it almost seems like yesterday, doesn't it, Simon?
It's
obviously
like Christmas and HR, they seem to go together, don't
they? Ah, yeah, definitely. Well, we'll get on to that later.
It's always that time of year when HR really comes into its own.
Although you avoided any controversy this year, didn't you, Paul?
Yeah, because I didn't get invited to any parties, that's why.
He wasn't invited to his own Christmas party. That's one way to stop the boss misbehaving.
I own 10 companies and I haven't been to one single Christmas party. How's that happened?
There is a message there.
It's always those teetotal bosses you've got to look out for at the Christmas party, isn't it? They're always getting up to mischief. Too much Diet Coke, it just goes to your head, doesn't it?
Eat all the E numbers, I get all carried away.
Too much sugar, not in Diet Coke, obviously.
It's still good to have a Christmas party, isn't it? We haven't missed the boat.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, well, are you saying we should go out after this? I'm up for it. You can drive, Paul, because you don't drink.
Oh, thank you.
Excellent. We've got a driver and we've got, well, there's five of us, so yeah.
Mm.
Good.
Well, that's sorted then.
Done.
Yeah, so shall we crack on with this and get it out of the way so we can all go and party?
The Christmas show, yeah.
Yeah. I want to say a big thank you to the show sponsor for this week, who My Careers Options. Thank you so much for sponsoring the show, as always, and we really do appreciate it. We would like to hear from you, the businesses out there in Southeast England. You can get in touch with us in not all the normal ways, because we've changed one of the ways of getting in touch with us.
Ooh.
I've got a new email address because we're launching a brand new website in the beginning of January.
Is that the one that we're supposed to launch last month?
Last January, yeah. It's definitely launching this January. Listen, we're just a web design company. Yeah. We don't get...
What do you know about web design?
Yeah, we don't get around to designing our own website.
Right. No. That is a common theme with websites, though, isn't it? They never seem to be delivered on time. I don't know if you guys have ever commissioned a website.
We always deliver on time. It's just our own that we don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we are launching in January with that, and in line with that, we've got a new email address, which is hello@bizradio.co.uk. That's biz, bizradio.co.uk. Hello.
Brilliant.
Or you can call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford. 01233 220035. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker. And we have had quite a few tweets already.
We have. There's a lot of people getting into the Christmas spirit, and rightly so. I can't believe it's a week today. It's Christmas Day.
I know.
That's unbelievable. When you think about what you've got to get through between now and Christmas Day in order to have Christmas Day.
Tune in to next week's show, guys.
Well, we were talking about that earlier as well. Until Paul went to Florida back in October or November, was
October,
it? October.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd had a holiday for 10 years.
Oh. True.
And now he's about to have 2 weeks off in a row.
I know.
Which is unheard of.
I didn't want to, but it's just everybody... I couldn't get anyone to be a guest next Tuesday for some reason.
Well, and
I
couldn't have done it.
What's happened is everybody that knows Paul has got together to actually make sure that Christmas Day falls on a Tuesday this year so that we can have 2 weeks off.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not working New Year's Day either.
No, because nobody wanted to come. So we're back on January the 8th.
Gosh.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with yourself?
I don't know. Well, I'll probably sit at home pretending I'm on the radio.
Yes. Yeah. Be practicing for your next show.
With a spoon and pretending it's a microphone.
Good. Yeah. Well, let's hope the sun shines anyway next week, because this grey weather, I don't know about you guys, but it's getting...
What's he talking about? The sun shines on Christmas Day. What's he talking about? We want snow, mate.
Well, yeah, okay.
We want snow. Get into it.
I've got to play golf on Christmas Eve. I hate playing golf in the rain. So as long as it's dry, that's okay with me. Just
snow. You want snow?
Well, yeah. Right.
And then you can get your orange balls out.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we should read some tweets.
Go on, then.
So we've had Jo Humphrey from Oregon Training has been on, and she says, wishing all the team a very happy Christmas, and here's to a fantastic 2019. Yeah, absolutely. We'll go with that, Jo. Thank you. Happy Christmas to you too.
And we've had a tweet from Natasha Sutton. She says she's looking forward to listening while she's driving. She's travelling 100 miles to go and support her family who need some respite care.
Oh.
So have a good journey, and... enjoy the show while you're driving, but concentrate on road, please, Natasha.
I hope you haven't got your elf outfit on again, Natasha. I caught a glimpse of that on last week's show.
Mm.
That was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it took... I just didn't get the joke, and which is unlike me. But because
you're just a humbug.
Well, no. I just didn't get it. She came in dressed in a full blown elf costume, and I said, "Oh, what have you come as?" And she said, "Mental elf." I went, really? Why have you done that? And I just didn't get it.
Anyway, what a great story, and very inspiring. So I enjoyed that show last week.
Yeah.
Mum's trusted.
Is she?
Well, apparently, I think you know them quite well, don't you? Is this a website for mothers and females generally, I guess? And is this all about sort of approved tradespeople and there's some kind of security behind that?
Absolutely,
for single.
Yeah, it's a great idea. It's a website for primarily for mums or people running families that need to find someone to do something, and they want recommendations and trusted advisors, and why not? Funnily enough, some months ago we had Kevin, the founder of Checkatrade, on the show, and that was primarily what motivated him to start Checkatrade. Was his mum got ripped off by a roofing company, that's why he started Checkatrade. And as it turned out, the week he came on the show was the week he sold it for 97 million quid. So it kind of worked out for him.
Well, Mum's Trusted have been on, and they've said, yes, please, Vanilla Web. Can we have a shout out? Please mention mumstrusted.com on your Christmas radio show, hashtag Be Bunker. Merry Christmas in advance. So, yes.
Fantastic.
Happy Christmas.
Good. So, what have you been up to?
Me?
Yeah.
I've been lying low. I mean, Jo and I were talking about this earlier, and how important it is to try and find some time outside of the kind of the day-to-day chaos of running a business, and the kind of just the level of sort of detail involved in that, to think about what you're going to be doing in business in the next sort of 12 months. And I know, Jo, you've had a really busy time sort of buying other businesses this year and consolidating that and trying to, I guess, consolidate that all under one brand, under Bells, in terms of your culture and your values. But it's so hard to find the time and make yourself find the time to plan for the business for the next sort of, for the next period of the business. Really.
Absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right in general. And I think specifically at this time, in proceedings, it's even worse because nobody's got a damn clue what's going on about anything, because everything's up in the air at the moment.
But all that's kind of, that's just noise, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. But
a lot of people will point the finger at something like Brexit and all the uncertainty and blame it for their business failure.
Absolutely.
But the reality of is quite different, as you know.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. But the interesting thing is, it's one of it's like anything. Markets are about confidence. Mm-hmm. Markets are about wanting to go places. Mm-hmm. And if everybody's running around like a headless chicken, that rubs off on people. When it, you know, 96% of businesses in the UK do no business overseas whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It has nil effect on them to a large extent. However, the whole circumstance behind it means that everybody's running around going, ooh, don't know what's going on. Mm. And therefore, they delay decisions. That has a knock-on effect, and everybody starts to worry about it. And then there's loads of other things happening, and we're going to talk to some of the great guests we've got here about some of the things that are happening as the show unfolds. You know, we've got Making Tax Digital, and we've got new government initiatives on employing people. These things don't stop. Mm. These regulations come with monotonous regularity. Mm. They normally fail to be implemented properly by most people. Mm. They then kind of sort themselves out. We're still trying to get to the bottom of GDPR, for goodness sake, and work out what that means.
I agree, but I think, you know...
And the government announced last week you're not allowed to cold call anybody anymore as well. That's going to work, isn't it?
The pragmatist in me. I mean, clearly all this is sort of getting you down a little bit, because I'm
just going to retire.
I was listening to you having a bit of a rant about all of this last week well. So clearly it's weighing heavily on your shoulders. Mm. And you're right, it's not good for business confidence. And I certainly wouldn't want to be somebody on the high street at the moment. You know, I think this year, this is going to be the toughest year ever, I think, on the high street. But the pragmatist in me says, look, you know, you've got to kind of block yourself out in terms of all that external noise. And you've got to focus on what's going to make the difference in your business in the next year.
Yep.
And, you know, something somebody said to me, one of our guests recently said to me, you know, it's business is all about knowing your market and servicing that market better than anybody else. Yep. And that might be because you're unique in the marketplace. It might be because your customer service is better than anybody else. But if you can know your market and you can really focus on that and focus on what's going to make a difference in terms of success for your business in that marketplace, all that other stuff that's going on, frankly, is just noise.
Absolutely. I mean, change is always a catalyst for opportunity as well. You know, while we live in changing times, there are opportunities to be gained from that.
When we were talking earlier and, you know, about how important it is for businesses to evolve.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I'm a big advocate of, and Joe, I'm sure you are as well, of writing a business plan. But don't think, you know, once you've written a business plan, that business plan is then set in stone. And if that business plan doesn't pan out in the way that you've written it in black and white, you know, your business is doomed to failure. You know, opportunities come along every single day, and you've got to look at all of that with an open mind and be prepared to actually move your business in a slightly different direction to take advantage of the here and now and the opportunities that present themselves.
Absolutely.
So, but it's very difficult, going back to kind of where we started, to do all of that if you're just working in the business flat out the whole time. And Joe, this is probably your busiest time of the year, because everybody's trying to get their year end account sorted if they follow the tax year like I do. And then there's the whole personal kind of tax return that needs to be in before the end of January. And so, you know, you're totally snowed under, I would imagine.
Yes, it is one of those times of year at the moment, because we're very deadline driven. So having a short month in December is always a problem, because we've got the same payrolls and the same VAT to do. But it does tend to go a little bit quieter during Christmas week, which is nice, because I think Christmas Day is probably the only day of the year that I don't generally get any emails. So do have a bit of thinking time.
So that's
there.
When you do your creative thinking. Yeah. And it doesn't matter where or when you do it. I mean, if for somebody, it might be in the bath, you know, with a candle on and some nice kind of bath salts. It doesn't matter. But the key point is you've got to find the time to do that and put that quality thinking time in, haven't you?
See, a bit of a SWOT analysis. Those I find are always helpful, you know, looking at your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities and your threats.
Right.
And that will help you sort of plan for the best 2019.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great.
Absolutely.
Sorry to pour water on your rant there, Paul, but, you know, we're all kind of being positive. We're not even thinking about it.
I'm used to being outranted, don't worry. Oh, yeah. I'm quite sanguine about my ranting these days. I couldn't care less, to be honest. I leave all that kind of nonsense up to you, Martin. Do you know what I'm going to do now?
Play some tunage.
I'm going to play some tunage. Guess what? Because it's Christmas.
I think you played this last year as well.
Of course I did. It was Christmas last year.
It's more than one Christmas song.
No, this is it. Yeah.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining. A veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir. And the peal of a bell and that Christmas tree smell. Eyes full of tinsel and fire. They sold me a dream of Christmas. They sold me a silent night. They told me a fairy story till I believed in the Israelite. And I believed in Father Christmas. And I looked to the sky with excited eyes. Then I woke with a yawn in the first light of dawn. And I saw him in through his disguise. Pain and sadness, lead your heart and let your road be clear. They said there'd be snow at Christmas. They said there'd be peace on earth. Hallelujah, Noel, the heavenly heart out. The Christmas we get, we deserve.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. phoenixanalystslimited.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 18th of December, 2018. Bit of Greg Lake there, as it's that time of year again.
Lovely song.
I was going to play the Pogues, but of course that's all banned now, isn't it?
Is it? Is it non? Yeah. Is it non PC now?
It's non PC now.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
I love the Pogues.
I know.
It's amazing how much stuff.
Fairy Tale of New York band
disappeared from our TV.
Baby It's Cold Outside band. Mm. Oh, did you see that radio station in America play Baby It's Cold Outside for 12 hours solid yesterday?
In protest.
As a protest.
Mm. I taped Steptoe and Son last night, and as I was doing it...
We've all stepped back in amazement, really.
I thought to myself, God, I'm amazed they're still showing that stuff, you know. Yeah.
Hold on. You can't just throw that in and then walk away from it.
Yeah.
You taped Steptoe and Son. Is there a reason that you did that?
I just
love. And when you say taped, you know, you got a videotape out, did you?
VHS. Shame my age. I just love all that old classic comedy stuff, but so much of it has disappeared off our screens. I mean, obviously, some of it was a bit extreme. People, you know, Bernard Manning and people like that, I think they kind of crossed the line, didn't they, at times? But, you know, Steptoe and Son, all that kind of... Harry Enfield, a lot of his stuff has gone because, of course, it's just not PC these days, you know? Yep. Pauline Quirk, I mean... is it Pauline Quirk? Not Pauline. Pauline... Who was Harry's co-star and Harry Enfield? One of his comedy co-stars that sort of... Kathy Burke.
You
never see her on the telly ever, do you? Because everything
Wayne
she
and
did...
Wayne Knitter.
Exactly. Everything she ever did was sort of, you know...
Yeah, but that ceased being a comedy and became a documentary, didn't it, basically?
Real life, yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Cool.
We digress. How did we get onto that?
Well, I don't know. You just started ranting about Harold Steptoe.
Oh, yeah. I taped Steptoe and Son, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, good.
I've had a tweet from Athelbrae.
Ah.
And they say, Business Bunker Vanilla Web, a Christmas shout out to all friends, colleagues, trainers, suppliers, and clients. Thanks for another superb year allowing us to do what we love. Big thanks too to the Business Bunker team for all the shows. Wishing everyone an enjoyable and restful festive few days. Well, thank you so much. That's Kate and Keith from Athelbrae.
And Merry Christmas to you. I tell you who we haven't heard from yet this year, the Venom Tech people. Because I remember last year, these people, obviously, you know, the name says it all, really. They produce anti-venoms as a kind of a remedy for people that get, well, all sorts of things, really. I mean, it could be, you tell me, you know more about it than I do.
They extract toxins and venoms from snakes, spiders, scorpions and other various creepy, nasty things and use them in drug research.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't actually produce anti-venom. It's one thing they don't do.
Oh, okay.
They're used in drug research for various things, especially things like arthritis and stuff like that.
But this time last year, they'd had a run on tarantulas. I guess they'd obviously done a lot of research on tarantulas for some reason. And what they decided to do with all the sort of the dead tarantulas
spent tarantulas
knocking about the lab was to actually frame them. So they created this lovely sort of glass frame, which you could buy as a Christmas present for someone. And they were flogging them through Business Bunker last year, weren't
they? Yeah, they were, but they got a better one this year.
All right.
Dr. Steve made his famous Venom chili sauce.
Ah, yes.
Which they've been selling.
Yes, which was quite fiery.
It was very... I've got a bottle of it. It is very fiery.
So what was that? That was authentic tarantula venom in a chilli sauce, was it? Or
I'm not
How
saying.
How did that work?
You'll have to read the ingredients. It's got some zing now, I can tell you.
Secret. Bit of a sting.
Yeah.
Am I woken up in a parallel universe? Venom.
Venom chili sauce.
Anyway, we've had a tweet from Oasis.
Oh,
also a long time supporter of Business Bunker.
Absolutely.
That's Bruce and Jenna down in Y. Hi guys. And they've had a naughty elf in the office recently. I don't know if you saw it on the Twitter, but their elf, they left him in the office last Friday, and the elf put his bum on the photocopier and took a picture.
Oh.
So they're obviously minding the office and minding the elf. So
you can't trust these elves, can you?
Absolutely. Can't leave them alone for 5 minutes. So thanks for tuning
in. At least he wasn't answering the phone.
No.
Because you know what would happen if he answered the phone, wouldn't you?
Go on.
Yeah, you know what happens if you ring the elf on the phone. Hello, buddy the elf. What's your favourite colour? Yeah. You've not seen the film then?
No.
Have you not?
No.
No, come on. You
come
must
on,
have.
You have to finish it now.
No, that's it.
Oh, that's it. Is it? Okay.
Have you not seen the film?
No. I don't think we need to now either. You've spoiled it for us.
I think it was on recently, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On telly?
Well, talking about photocopier exploits, should we talk to our next guest?
I think we ought to. move on.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back for his annual visit in his Christmas jumper, Mr. Simon Morgan of the HR department.
Thank you very much.
Simon, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bunker Show. Simon, you're an HR specialist, and aside from all the jokes going around here about photocopiers and the rest of it, it is that time of year when HR departments can be a little bit busy if we're not careful.
Possibly, yes, that's true. I think probably not so many problems these days as there might have been, you know, maybe 10, 20 years ago. Yeah. But it is still common for businesses to have Christmas parties, which is great. And they've got to just, I think, adopt a few rules just to make sure it goes smoothly. And we see perhaps a bit more common sense being exercised these days.
It's one of those things, isn't it, that a lot of people assume that once the work day's over, you know, it's 5 o'clock and you're going out in the evening, that as a business you're not responsible anymore because it's private time. Yeah. That's not really true, is it?
Absolutely, absolutely not. If you're organising a Christmas party, you're responsible for what goes on. And, in fact, possibly the after party as well.
Yeah.
There was a recent case actually just concluded in the Court of Appeal where a company was held liable for the actions of its managing director when he assaulted a colleague at the Christmas party and caused him quite serious damage. And the employer in that case was held responsible.
Mm.
So you couldn't get away from it. You know, they tried to argue that it was not actually to do with work, but it was actually held in the end that it was an extension of the work-related Christmas party. They all went off to a hotel afterwards.
Mm.
So you've got to be careful about these things. Maybe just it's sensible often for a business to send out maybe a note just reminding people of simple rules, you know, not drinking too much, etc. Probably not a good idea to have a free bar actually all night long, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe organise transport. And then you're going to hopefully avoid some of the perils and the pitfalls of the party that have happened in past years. But if, however, any business listening has had a party and they have had a problem, then get in touch. I'll help you, hopefully, resolve it.
He's good at clearing up, is Simon. Yeah. he can dispose of the empties.
I've got to say, in my day, Simon, it was anything goes. Mm. I mean, I used to work in the advertising agency business in London, and believe me, we knew how to party. And I will share one story with you, which was I went to a Christmas party one year, and I think about 3 o'clock in the morning, the booze ran out. And I was still up for it, still up for partying. And they'd had one of these vodka shoots. I mean, I was only in my 20s. I mean, this is a long time ago. They had a vodka shoot, which was like an ice slide that they would pour vodka down. And then you had to put your...
They had those in the 19th century, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Then you had to put your sort of chin under the bottom of it and catch the ice cold vodka that had almost sort of turned into a vapour. I mean, it was amazing. It would just sort of hit the back of your throat. Anyway, all of the booze ran out. So I then went round at 3 o'clock in the morning with the straw, sucking up what was left in the tray at the bottom of the vodka chute, thinking there might still be some alcohol content left in there. That's how hardcore
that's
we
were.
That's
how you rock and roll, isn't
that,
it?
That was it. Rock and roll lifestyle back then.
But, yeah.
So has it? Do you think it has become quite more sanitised now, the Christmas party, because people are so much more aware of...
I think so, yes.
Mm.
Maybe that's a shame in some respects, but I think probably overall it's better that way. And you know, other things as well that go on at Christmas, like the Secret Santa, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There was a survey recently that showed that the three most unpopular Secret Santas were sex toys, underwear and deodorant. Probably a good idea not to have Secret Santas, actually.
Yeah. Mm.
But if you do, stick to socks.
Right, okay. Yeah. Or scarves, or... Yeah. Mm. It's such a shame, isn't it? Because the Secret Santa, you know, that, again, that was a bit of a hoot, wasn't it, in its day?
I know what you're saying, but in my time a long time ago, not quite in the 19th century like you, Martin, but quite a long time ago when I was a senior manager in a big corporate, I hate it. One of the reasons I'm a big curmudgeon about Christmas is that my January was a nightmare afterwards, trying to sort out all the personnel problems and all the not even from a legal point of view, just who fell out with who over what during the Christmas period, because someone was drunk and somebody did this and somebody did that. And I'd spend weeks and weeks and weeks trying to get everybody back on track, back in focus to work, working with each other and not fighting over everything. So, you know, a bit of common sense goes quite a long way. And being a miserable git that doesn't drink anyway, I guess I see how quickly people get inebriated.
Yeah.
Yes, and you can be quite popular as well, because you might be able to give lifts to people afterwards as well, I guess. But yeah, I think the Christmas party is more sanitised nowadays. Yeah.
So, Simon, you do more than Christmas, obviously. Tell us a little bit about you and HR department and some of the other things that we need to look out for as we go into 2019.
Okay, well, the HR department is actually a national network of HR professionals. We all run our own businesses. There are 70 of us now around the country. I'm based in Dartford in Kent, and I cover North Kent and South East London. But I can go elsewhere in Kent if there isn't already an HR department representative there. And so I get the benefit, really, of running my own business, but also at the same time enjoying, if you like, the collaboration that you get from being part of a bigger group. So we have an annual conference, funnily enough, every year in November, and just recently had it there for, so went there and discovered that altogether we actually have about 6,000 clients across the whole country.
Wow.
And it was 50% of them are under 30 employees. So that's very much our market, SMEs. Not big enough to have their own HR department, of course, but, you know, they do have HR issues from time to time.
But it's the basics as well, isn't it, Simon? I mean, we were talking about documentation, some of the basics that small businesses don't realise they need to have in place.
Well, this is often where we kind of start off with a business that's for example, they're showing interest in HR, you know, they haven't got the basics in place. And what we can do is help them put in place a contract of employment, for example, for their staff, or a handbook with basic policies in. Going into the new year, it's actually a good thing for an employer to do, which is to review any employment documentation they've already got. And if they haven't got any, to think about what they do need. Interestingly, yesterday, the Good Work Plan was announced by the government. Proposals, if you like, to implement some of the recommendations that came out of the Matthew Taylor review last year, all about sort of improving security of employment for people on casual work contracts, zero hours, etc. One of the proposals was that employees should have, and workers should have, a statement of terms and conditions of employment given to them on their first day. But at the moment, employers have up to 8 weeks, so that could be quite a significant change. So if employers don't have those things in place, or they're very out of date, then something to think about for the new year.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because there's a lot of myths about employing people. Like, almost every employer I know, when they take someone on, they go, we'll put you on a three-month or a six-month trial period. There's no such thing. There's absolutely no such thing.
Well, probationary periods don't have any legal status, exactly, as you say, Paul.
But the reality now is you can effectively fire somebody. Is it within the first 2 years of employment without any kind of recompense?
Well, you can, in the sense that there's no unfair dismissal claim possible. But you always have to bear in mind that somebody could make a claim for something else. So, for example, discrimination.
Right.
That doesn't require any service at all. And if it's held that they were dismissed because of a discriminatory reason, then that's automatically unfair dismissal. So it isn't exactly straightforward. But certainly employers, I guess, have felt a bit more comfortable since the government introduced that two-year rule. But that was several years ago. I think actually a more significant change was last year, and we've seen the effect of it this year, which is the abolition of tribunal fees. So when they were introduced, the number of tribunal claims dropped considerably. But then when they were abolished in July 17, they've gone up again significantly. I mean, we've seen an increase of 30%. In employment tribunal claims this year in the HR department. And that's actually quite a lot lower than the sort of national statistics are showing.
I wanted to ask you, do you think employees now go into into work being a lot more savvy in terms of the types of grievances to look out for, and the, you know, the wrongdoing on the part of the employer. So they're ready to kind of snap at the slightest little thing. Do you think, is that true, or am I just kind
of... There are some people like that, yes. There are serial claimants, as it were. People who kind of go into businesses and seem to just want to find a reason for making some kind of complaint and then claim against them.
A vexatious claimant, they're called.
Well, they have been on the increase, actually. We're certainly seeing more vexatious claims because there's absolutely nothing to lose, I suppose. But, you know, you can avoid that, I think, or employers can certainly help to reduce the risk of that by adopting good management practices, you know, and making sure that...
Paperwork,
they don't do things in a way that attracts criticism, if you like. And that's where I think another kind of resolution for an employer might be to think about the training they've provided for their managers, you know. And there may be small businesses, there may not be many managers there, but so often I find people in management positions, you know, have not had any experience, and they've not had any training, and they're not quite sure how to deal with situations when they arise. And handling the difficult conversation, you know, that's something that's really critical. It can go one or two ways. You can do it well and the person, you know, is happy, and then there's no further action taken. But if it goes badly, then the situation just goes into a confrontation.
Training is something that comes up time and time again, isn't it, in businesses, or lack of management in inverted commas training. So people who are in a management responsibility because they oversee staff or, you know, whatever it is, and they haven't necessarily been trained in how to manage people on that level, you know.
I agree. And it's a shame that small businesses in particular don't look out for opportunities to train people. I must say, you know, there are exceptions, and one of which I think is sitting on my left here. This is Joe, because I know that you sent some of your people on our training courses, haven't you? And hopefully they found those very helpful. But you know, the secret is not to make them too long. I think you'll have sort of half day maybe training, so it's not too disruptive to the business. You can run a series of training programs that talk about, you know, effective team leadership and managing disciplinaries and grievances and managing performance and things like that.
It's interesting, isn't it? You find so many small businesses put these kind of things off because they go, oh, you know, I know my team, they're all mates, you know, there's only four of them, they're fine, until it goes wrong, and then it's too late.
Yeah,
it's already gone wrong.
And they're not mates anymore.
And they're not mates anymore. Yeah. Or, you know, I thought you were my mate. Not when there's money involved, no. Right. And that's the problem. And it's also a similar issue with training. You know, so many people go, I know how to manage people. I don't need a management training course. I can manage people. I'm a born leader. And it's not that level of leadership that we're talking about here. Mm. It's the actual legalities of managing people and the things that you need to know. Because there are so many myths and misconceptions about it as well.
Well, that's an interesting point because, I mean, I was just kind of come on to how, you know, the kind of the benefit of employing somebody like yourself, Simon. I'm fielding probably two or three questions a week at the moment from Peninsula, who, as we know, are a kind of a remote HR support service provider. Now, I've worked with them in the past. I don't know how they've got my number now, you know, GDPR aside and everything else. But it strikes me that the problem with a model like that is everything is done remotely in terms of the support. Now, the businesses that you've been describing, you know, less than 30 employees, were you saying?
Half of our firms that we work with are less than 30 employees.
They can't necessarily justify or wouldn't want to justify having a full-time HR person in their business. But what they get from somebody like you is they can access you when they need to on a kind of physical level to come in and conduct training or to help them through grievance procedures, etc. So they're not having to pay for a full-time person, but in many ways they're getting the expertise and the resource of someone who is more qualified than perhaps they would even be able to afford to have in the business anyway.
Yes, absolutely. And you were talking about businesses having a USP earlier on. And in, I think ours is very much local and personal. Mm. That's what we say we are. And we have, you know, we do work in the areas that we're based in. And people get to know us. You know, they only ever contact us. They don't get through. It's not a call centre type operation. Mm. And I will frequently go and visit the business and I really get to know them well. In fact, I sometimes see my name and my job title, if you like, as HR manager on their organisation chart, if they've got one.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that's really good because then I feel that they regard me as very much part of their business, even though I'm not there. And I mean, they ring me when they need me and they maybe ask me to come in when they need me. But it's a very cost-effective solution to a business that's struggling a bit with HR but doesn't want to pay a lot of money and doesn't need to pay a lot of money.
Well, they need to.
I mean, presumably, Simon, you offer a service where for maybe a new employer or someone that's kind of starting to employ people on a more regular basis, where you can help them formulate the contracts and paperwork that they need and help them put in place processes for managing people.
Absolutely. Often a business will get in touch when they have a problem.
Mm.
Okay, we like to say we're about preventing people problems, but the reality is that often to start with, it's a resolving a people problem.
Mm.
And then after that, hopefully we will have done a good job and they'll feel, well, actually, we don't want to be in that situation again, so we'll basically look into having maybe an annual contract with the HR department.
Mm.
And the first thing I would always do is look at the contracts and the handbook with the policies in and what have they got in place and is it up to date?
Mm-hmm.
And have they, for example, you know, produced new documents to cover things that have changed in law recently? Mm. Now, I mean, obviously last year, or this year rather, the big one was GDPR, data protection regulation that came in May. And a lot of people probably think, oh, well, that's good, that's gone now, we've got over that. But actually, not really, because, you know, if you're still potentially going to have a data breach. Now, do you know what to do if you have a data breach? Have you got a policy and a procedure for it? You know, do your staff know? So things like that. You don't need too many policies, but you need enough to help you manage the business. And especially if you're growing the business as well. You know, you start off, you have one employee, okay, you don't need much. But as you grow, you get 10, you get 12, 15, 20, you know, you're going to get more likelihood of issues arising. And if you've got some policies, basic policies, they don't have to be complicated in place, then they will help guide you along with, if you like, support from the HR department in dealing with any difficult issues that you get.
And going back to what we were saying earlier about and what Bern's going to be talking about you know, the need to create an environment that's actually quite motivating for people to come to work in each day, you know, staff appraisals. You know, how many businesses have an annual staff appraisal, for example, where they sit down with their you know, their people and they say, right, you know, this is what we've achieved this year, this is what we're trying to do next year, and actually put some kind of some objectives and some accountability around that.
I think in the market that I work in, not many is the answer to that, which is a shame. And I'm always banging on about the importance of holding performance appraisals because people value feedback. You know, they want to know how they're doing. And it's a great opportunity to show that you appreciate what people are doing. And it doesn't, I think people are put off because they think it's a complicated process. It doesn't have to be. You could have a very simple form, one page, actually, almost looking back at the things that have gone well or not so well, et cetera, and plans for the future.
But it brings a level of objectivity, doesn't it, to the discussion, rather than, you know, a problem perhaps that festers over time and then becomes a real personal issue.
Oh, yes, absolutely. If people have got issues, then that's a good opportunity to raise them.
I mean, how many business owners out there think that they get 100% productivity from their staff, for example? But, you know, what is their vehicle for actually communicating that dissatisfaction with them?
And it is all about communication. Well, I mean, that's the whole thing, isn't it? And it's something that can be quite badly handled by lots of people, especially in a small business.
As well, people put it off, you know. They don't quite know how to handle it. It might be an appraisal that, oh, we don't, you know, I'm not sure what I'd say, or, you know, how they'll take it, you know, so they don't have appraisals. But actually also they won't even perhaps tackle that difficult issue that's been bugging them for months because they've got a person who's not performing,
exactly,
got a poor attitude or what have you, and they put it off because they're not actually quite sure how they're going to handle it.
Yeah.
And that's where we can help, really help. You know, it's the basic. You know, well, where do you start? What do you say at the beginning of the meeting? You know, how are you going to put to them in a constructive way that you're not happy, etc.
When
what
we were talking about
come to be,
we were talking about comedy, weren't we, earlier on? And Ricky Gervais was the kind of epitome of that, wasn't he? In the office, you know, as the manager that didn't have a clue.
Yeah, absolutely.
He pops up in a lot of training videos, actually.
Yeah, he does.
I shouldn't admit to this, but
he's not on the telly anymore either. He's probably not PC
either
anymore.
You know, you can get difficult employees too that don't participate in the process properly. Many years ago, when I had a corporate job, I had a boss that I just didn't get on with. We just did not get on at all. And he called me in for an appraisal. I sat down and I said, right, should we talk about the projects I've done? And he went, no, first of all, I want to discuss your weaknesses. And I've gone, yeah, okay, fine. He's gone, so what's your main weakness? I went, I can't speak Russian. And he went, yeah, yeah. And I went, or Chinese, and I can't fly a plane. And he went, don't be stupid. And I went, no, I've got a long list here, Alan. I've got a huge long list here, and I'm going to get them all written. You've got to write these down, and you'll need more paper than that if you want to go over my weaknesses.
Excellent.
But it is about communication, isn't it? And that's the key thing.
But balanced feedback as well. So, yes, of course, everyone's got weaknesses. Development needs, if you like, to put it more positively, and hopefully maybe some plans to address those development needs. But also, you know, people do things well and they want to be appreciated.
Well, I mean, for most businesses, I guess, their key asset is going to be their people. And if you don't actually proactively manage the people in your business, then, you know, it's a kind of, you know, well, what am I going to get? You know, am I going to get, you know, people going off sick? Am I going to get, you know, high staff turnover? If you're not actually proactively, strategically managing that resource, then, you know, it's just a kind of, well, you know, finger in the air kind of exercise, isn't it?
I think one of the difficulties for employers is obviously that you only know what you've come across. And I didn't feel, certainly when I started sort of taking people on, that I'd ever been adequately managed. So as a customer of the HR department, one of the best things for me was the advice line to just sort of get some help on how to structure these conversations and the forms and things like that. Because if you've not got an example to follow, and things come up all the time, you know, that you've not come across before and you don't know how best to deal with them.
So you've obviously recently you've just bought another business, Joe, so you're having to sort of consolidate a culture and a way of doing things into
you've got two big people across as well, presumably.
You know, into the way that you would like to do business and build on the success that you've had in the marketplace by doing business in a certain way, and that can lead to a big clash as well, can't it? You know, when you're bringing people in from other businesses,
merging cultures.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
So, Simon, have you got any tips for that in terms of, you know, how to approach, you know,
business planning for reorganization or, you know, business takeover or mergers and things like that? Yeah, they need to be thought about well in advance. I would say talk to HR if you've got somebody there who can advise you, because with TUPE in particular, for anyone who's not aware what that means, it's Transfer of Undertakings Protection of Employment. It means that people have got rights if their business is taken over and they have a right to transfer. You have to inform and consult them about the changes, otherwise you fall foul of the law. So that's where we can come in to help, you know, plan the communication process with people. And sometimes, you know, with business changes like that, you know, there are casualties. There are going to be redundancies as a result of reorganization. So,
I mean, in my experience in the past, when it's happened to me, they've tended to look after the senior people and make sure that, you know, that there's continuity in the business on that level, and everybody else is like, you know, well, you know, come
here's
across
the vodka shoot, get on with it,
come across, or don't come across, you know, and they've been left to kind of make up their own minds, you know, rather than being, you know, embraced, as it were, and being encouraged to make that move as well. So that's quite interesting.
And there's all the work involved in integrating, you know, people from a different business into your own business, for example, and, you know, lots of, you know, things that you need to do to make sure it goes smoothly. And I guess that's where, if you like, speaking to an HR professional, you know, can help, because, you know, we've been through it many, many times with different employers in different sectors.
There's something else we always talk about on the show, isn't it? You know, why try and muddle through in an area in which you have no expertise whatsoever, when, you know, really all you need to do is put your hand up and talk to somebody that knows what they're doing.
It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, just playing devil's advocate for a moment, I do agree with what you're saying there, Martin. But as a small business owner, you know, you don't have oodles of cash for this kind of thing. And like any form of expertise, you don't know what you're buying. And the biggest, the single biggest thing is, I don't know what I'm buying. I don't, you know I need some HR expertise, or I know I need some legal expertise, or I know I need health and safety expertise. The trouble is, I don't know what I'm being offered by the market and whether it's viable, valuable, or, you know, on the right thing. So one of the things that I like about what Simon's doing is they have a USP where they look after primarily a sector of the market. One of the things that tells you is that they understand your business. And is, there's loads of people you could go and talk to and go, you know, does the HR department help you? Yes. Well, then they're the kind of right person for me. So that's one of the things I like, is that it's not just some giant company that says, yeah, we can do that.
And the other key thing for me is, you know, Simon's business model doesn't start with a rate card. Like so many bigger businesses do. You know, Simon's business model is, you know, it starts with a discussion. And he'll come in and he'll sit down with you for an hour and he'll talk to the business owner about their business. And then on the back of that, he'll come back with, well, this is what I think you need to focus on in the short, medium and long term, you know, potentially.
I'll do a free review as well of your employment documentation, because I would be able to see quite quickly, you know, if it's up to date, if it complies with employment law, if it's right for your business. And there are so many businesses actually that either don't have adequate documents, or they have documents, usually with all due respect to lawyers, that have been prepared by them, that are totally unnecessarily complex, you know. And so we would, I would sit down and talk to an employer about, you know, their documents, and if they wanted to have changes made, you know, I could obviously do that for them. One thing I would say as well about the way we operate, because it is that local and personal relationship that you build up with a business. You know, we don't use templates. You know, some of these bigger companies will send you templates for this, templates for that, and so on. And you're still left sort of looking at it and thinking, well, you know, is that right? Do I need to use that?
You've still got to do the work.
Or take that one out or whatever. Whereas, you know, we will tailor them to those businesses' requirements. I hate templates, actually.
Well, that's the other thing, isn't it? You can download a template for anything on the internet today, but, you know.
The other thing that struck me while listening to Simon talk, and I've been guilty of this in the past as well, is that sometimes you start out and you can close your ears here. When I started my first business and started employing people, I just nicked all the stuff that I had in the last place I worked. I just went through it and changed all the names, were the ones I could find, and just changed the names on it and used that because it was easier. But sometimes you sit in a business and you've got a book on the shelf that says, you know, our contracts and our processes, but nobody reads it. I've told this story so many times as well, but I'll tell it one more time. I hired someone about a year or so ago, and I sent them the contract of employment before they started. And they rang me up and they said, in the contract, it mentions the company's internet procedures and digital media usage. And I go, yeah. and I've gone, but we can't find it in the contract. Okay. So I go into the office to the office manager and I go, where's the internet bit? And I've never seen it. So I've got a contract that says you have to abide by these rules, but I didn't actually have the rules.
That's because you'd pinched it from somebody
else. And that's because I pinched it from somebody else. And I didn't pinch it all.
And you didn't read it.
You've got to proofread them very carefully.
Yeah, exactly.
To do that.
So, and I think you get that kind of thing happen.
They probably thought they were working for Goldman Sachs as well, not just...
Yeah, they did. That's where I got it from. And your investment decisions must be... But the interesting thing is that sometimes we think we've got all these things in place, but the law's changed. And how often have we reviewed what we've got and whether it's still relevant?
And that's the other key thing, isn't it? You know, it's always up to date. You know, it's not you that's having to keep your eye on or your finger on the pulse of employment law. Simon's doing that for you. So whatever advice is always, you know, relevant today.
Absolutely.
Good.
Simon, thank you so much for that. Fascinating insight into what's going on. If people want to find out more about you, what's the best way of doing that? How can I get in contact with you?
Okay, contact me on my email address, simon.morgan@hrdept.co.uk, or they can phone me on 0345 634 9154. But I'm very happy to talk to anybody who's perhaps listened to this and, you know, is thinking, oh, well, maybe I should be reviewing my employment documentation as we go into this new year, particularly bearing in mind what the government's proposals are, you know, which may take a while to come into law, but, you know, they are...
But they will. They will bring it in.
Simon is also a prolific blog writer.
Oh, yeah.
And you can follow him on the Twitter at HR Rescuer.
Yeah.
As HR Rescuer, that's right, my Twitter feed, and also LinkedIn as well. And the recent blogs have included blogs about you know, resolutions for the new year.
Everything. And, dress code at work.
Health as well.
Everything.
Which is an increasing issue as well.
So fantastic. So if you think, as you probably do, that you need to review some of these things, give someone a call. I'm sure he'll come in and talk to you and give you some pointers. You know, stay on top of it because it is important. And it's like so many of these things, if you do it before you've got a problem, it's much easier than trying to do it after you've got a problem.
Absolutely.
Simon, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But we're going to go over to the Channel Radio newsroom now for a news update, and we will be back after that.
On the hour, Channel Radio news update.